Hello and welcome to Tell It From Calvary, coming to you from Calvary Baptist Church right here in New York City, Gotham, the city that never, ever sleeps. I'm Dave Epstein, the senior pastor here at Calvary, and I have this privilege of leading this evangelical, diverse, and global congregation since 1997. We want everyone here, every believer in Christ, to grow as a disciple, to be tough-minded about the truth, tender-hearted toward people, speaking the truth in love. We want everyone to be wise as a serpent, innocent as a dove. For more information about us, go on our website, cbcnyc.org, cbcnyc.org. Click Contact Us at the bottom of the homepage to let us know you're listening. You can also download our messages absolutely free of charge. Next time you're in New York, drop by. We'd love to meet you personally. Now let's get into today's message. And it's not until you get to Luke do you get not a contradiction in the story, but you get what really the rest of the story. Matthew and Mark are right. For 3 hours they were speaking against Jesus. But Luke tells us that in that last few minutes, an amazing change took place. And do you see what it says? They crucified Jesus, verse 34, and Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." The grammar there actually tells us that this was not something he said one time, but he was saying over that period between 9 and noon. It's the only thing of the seven things that Jesus said on the cross, it's the only thing he said between 9 a.m. and noon, the only thing. Forgiveness, forgiveness. Forgiveness, the only thing. And so when we get to verse 39, deep into that first 3 hours, suddenly this message of forgiveness begins to impact this one criminal deeply. We have to conclude that. Because it's the only thing that Jesus said in those 3 hours. And I think the Lord had that on purpose. The power of forgiveness. The heart of the gospel. Verse 39, one of the criminals who were hanged continued to curse at Jesus. "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself, save us." And all of a sudden, the other, his partner in crime, said, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation?" Suddenly, an amazing change was taking place in this one guy. He says to his friend who's dying also, "Don't you fear God? Have you no reverence for God?" Well, until a minute before, he himself had no reverence for God. What brought a man from irreverence and cursing to a fear of God was the forgiveness, the power of forgiveness. And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. We indeed justly. This man had been denying his guilt right up until that moment, like all of us. I've never been guilty. In my natural state, I don't think I can ever remember doing anything wrong in my entire life. That's us. Defend, 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 explain, rationalize, excuse. That's human nature. That's fallenness. He finally says, "We are punished justly. We deserve it." Whatever brought him to that recognition of his own guilt? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. The power of the gospel. Amen. But this man has done nothing wrong. By grace, he's able to look at Jesus and say, "You know what? We deserve this. He's innocent. He's innocent. So in God's grace, he was able to see Jesus as the innocent one. Now, what happens to a man or a woman when we've been in denial for so long about our own sin and our own unrighteousness? And suddenly we begin to be impacted by the message of the gospel of the forgiveness of God. And it produces in us, for the first time, a reverence for God, a holy fear of God. To the point where we're willing to acknowledge our own guilt and acknowledge that Jesus is the innocent one. Where does that lead? Well, that leads to the experience of forgiveness. He looked at Jesus and he said, Jesus, remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. What he was saying is, I believe you. I believe you. I finally see myself for who I am, and I see you for who you are. I believe you. Remember me. And Jesus said, truly I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise. In an instant, you're changed. Amen? It's the gospel. It's the power of the gospel. In an instant, you're changed. That offer is for you. We got to stop denying our own guilt. We need to let God touch us and give us a reverence for him that we haven't had. And then we'll acknowledge our guilt. We'll throw ourselves on mercy, amen? We'll see Jesus for who he really is. Thank God. He's a gift, amen? Back a few years ago, I was in Greece doing ministry there with our brother Timo Verdalis, one of our missions family. And I had the privilege one day of sharing the gospel in Athens in a maximum security prison. It was a powerful privilege. And so we were meeting a lot of these men who were serving life sentences there, and had the chance to share with them, pray with them, and give the word to them. And I met a man who was from Albania, but years earlier had been in Greece, and while in Greece had committed a horrific murder in Greece, and had been able to slip out of Greece back to his native Albania, where he was free because there was no extradition. And so he was free and clear. But then one day in Albania, our brother Timo Verdalis was preaching in the park, and he was preaching the grace and the love of God and the forgiveness of God. And this young man, murderer, actually happened to stop and listen to the gospel. And the Spirit of God, just like the road to Damascus for Saul, the Spirit of God impacted this young man, brought him to reverence for God, an acknowledgement of his own guilt, that he deserved judgment, but that God in his grace had forgiven him. And he began to walk with God and to serve the Lord as he does to this day. But the Lord began to convict him now as a Christian, that he needed to go back to Greece and turn himself in. And he went back to Greece and turned himself in. Was sentenced to life in prison. I met him that day in that prison. And I shared with him and the rest of those men the gospel and the love of God, but also with those who knew the Lord in that group, I shared with them that the Lord said to them again and to all of us from John chapter 8 that literally, if the Son of God shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And I shared with them that they in Christ were more free in that prison than the millions of the citizens of Athens were who were walking around outside without Jesus Christ. It's a powerful moment. Powerful moment. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So I urge you on this Good Friday, don't receive the grace of God in vain today. Don't walk away from the grace of God. Amen. His love is for you. His gift is for you. Trust him. Acknowledge your need for his grace. Receive him by faith. If you're a believer today, may this be a wake-up call for all of us, that we know the one and share the message of the one who is the only hope for our families, our co-workers, our neighbors, our city, and our world. The only one. Amen. So let's share that gospel with love. Pray for opportunities. Lovingly share. Take a risk. Be bold, but always loving, respectful, sensitive. Always knowing how much God loves that person that you're sharing Christ with. Amen. So be encouraged. The power of the cross. It's the power of God's love. Amen. In the name of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit and all God's amazed at the love of God, people said, thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. Watch over us now as we sing your praises and then are dismissed. Touch that man or woman today on Good Friday, still without Christ and closest to death and entering eternity without your grace, Lord. Touch them today. And for those of us that know your grace, may we never, ever fail to appreciate and glory in the cross. What a privilege, Lord. Make us more like Jesus today in your wonderful name. Amen.